Hello and welcome back. I'm Eric Sunset, the host of the Doc Buddy Journal. Here at Doc Buddy, we deliver healthcare solutions that take the pain and cost out of broken workflows. Today, we're joined by Todd Currier. Todd is a certified public accountant, a certified administrator of surgery centers, and currently serves as the CEO of Bend Surgery Center in Bend, Oregon. And he is also on the ASCA board of directors. So very busy gentleman. Todd, thanks for taking a little time out of your schedule to join the show.
You bet. Good to be here.
And one of the reasons we're together today is that you have actually got a speaking slot at ASCA, the annual conference taking place in Orlando next month, April 17th through 20th. If you've listened to the show before, you know that we here at Doc Buddy are big fans of ASCA and everything that the organization does to advance the cause of surgery centers. Todd, your speaking slot centers around building a culture of excellence in your ASC. I believe that's Thursday morning. Why is that important?
Correct.
Why is that important for a surgery center to have any type of culture at all, I guess, as a place to start?
I guess I feel that the your culture really defines your center, and every surgery center has their own culture. But it really, it promotes your values, your attitudes, your standards and your norms, and really helps direct your staff and the direction that your center is going.
Makes sense to me. Obviously, culture is a huge part of any business. You know, you can get into the organizational psychology of it and all the different levels and layers that folks may or may not have to navigate. And certainly don't want you to spoil your upcoming talk next month, but maybe share, if it'd be okay, share a couple of the high points or a couple of the key takeaways you'll hope people will leave with.
Probably the main areas I'm probably going to be focusing on is really defining your culture, creating accountability for quality of care, creating the atmosphere of safety, culture over your business operations and fiduciary controls. And probably the final one is just building a strong workforce through culture.
And the workforce piece is huge. You know, you can open up Becker's ASC and see stories essentially every day of the week about all of the challenges surgery centers have, both hiring and maintaining staffing. You know, how do you think culture plays into avoiding those hurdles or removing those roadblocks?
Really, it gets back to the we put so much time and energy every single week in our work life, and so we need to love what we do. And I tell my staff all the time, you need to love what you do and love where you do it, because we spend too much of our daily lives in working, and so creating that for the staff and having them involved in it is vitally important.
And to that point, a recent guest who's coincidentally also a speaker at ASCA next month, Nylene Flores, certainly don't want to paint broad strokes, but in general, she shared that, you know, if you're looking at a similar rule between the surgery center and the hospital, that oftentimes, and again, not making any assumptions about any individual center's compensation plans or how aggressive that is, oftentimes the hospital will have higher reimbursement for you, the individual. You know, reimbursement's maybe not the right word there. Higher salary is the word we're looking for. But she also pointed out that there's a big split. It's a very different animal, very different machine working in a hospital as opposed to a surgery center. You know, to my mind, it seems like there's a lot of draw to a stronger culture at that surgery center versus maybe being more of a cog in a machine despite the higher pay at a hospital.
Yeah, I think everybody across the country has seen this as the rising cost of our workforce and the competitiveness of getting them. We've seen in our local market, the local hospital system has had some significant raises with their staff, and we just cannot chase them, and that just doesn't work. And so having a strong culture within the center is vital. Having that, that family unit, a place where the staff want to come. I've told my staff many a times, if they have to chase the dollar, go chase it, because it's out there. But, I can't stop them from doing that. But if they want to stay here and be part of something that is, the camaraderie, what we're doing for what I feel the healthcare system is vital to the future of healthcare, and they can be part of that.
And I imagine when you get that buy-in, maybe there's enough data to analyze this, maybe there's not, but I imagine with that buy-in with the staff that really cares about the mission, and obviously the mission we're talking about with surgery centers is being able to deliver stellar outcomes for less cost to the patient, better experience for the patient, potentially less burnout for the provider. You have this win-win-win where all parties concerned win at the surgery center, that those patient outcomes and patient satisfaction are higher. This is kind of a long walk for a short drink of water, that one of the hurdles that ASCs as a whole face is just awareness. You know, in my life, my family asks, what do I do? What kind of things are you working on? And we start to talk about a surgery center. And a lot of times the question comes back, like, what do you mean? I'm not sure what a surgery center is. And then it's, oh, well, you need to understand this about it. So do you see that staff? This is coming back to the central point, the staff buy-in, the culture that you create, delivering better patient outcomes and making the ASC something that people recognize and that they would choose to have procedures performed at.
Oh, definitely. And we've actually created, we expanded in 2022, we expanded our operations. And so we had a significant hiring and our staff expanded significantly. And one of the fears we had was the losing our culture, losing what we had spent 25 years building. And so we created, we call it the Culture Club. So it's a staff ran club that helps create that environment that benefits them the most. I sit on it, but I'm just another member of that club. You know, they have their own president. They get to decide like what external activities we're going to do, what internal activities we're going to do, and you know, to try to promote that positive experience as an employee.
What are some of those activities that get people the most excited, be it internal or external?
Well, not associated with Culture Club, but annually we do a Employee Appreciation Week, to where the leadership team does, you know, we do an early morning breakfast, the breakfast sandwiches for everybody, and we do a barbecue lunch during that week, and we give out just nominal little swag items, and we have a Sunday ice cream Sunday day, so something different every single day of the week. The other things we've done is just, you know, the get-togethers for the nonprofit walks. We've looked into Habitat for Humanity crew to help out on a given day, and a bowling night was a huge hit, and then we do a summer barbecue also. So it's something. It seems like every single month there's something new that we're doing. Most recently was when we expanded our building, we have a lot of bare walls. And so we live in an area with a lot of great outdoor activities and scenery. And so the staff has sent like 150 different photos in, and we're getting those printed and put up on our walls.
That's a dedication to culture you won't find, I would imagine, at most surgery centers or maybe even most organizations. And I have to rib you a little bit. The real question here, Todd, are you the one manning the smoker for the barbecue lunch and barbecue days?
Of course. I have my apron and I got my spatula. So
you're all over it.
It's all good.
That's fantastic. Well, let's steer a conversation back to sort of ASC operations. For many reasons, ASCs haven't always been the most eager to adopt new technology. I know that's not the case with Ben Surgery Center, but without a Medicare mandate or Medicare penalty, rather, to spur the adoption of technology in the ASC, it's starting to happen, but it's lagging behind practices and the hospitals. Obviously, we all know that. For what you're doing and for what you see, you know, what are some of the key areas that technology augments your operation? This could be managing block times and staffing, ensuring case profitability. The surgery center, despite how well things are going and how things are trending, it's still getting squeezed in a lot of different directions, whether it's staffing or declining reimbursements for particular procedures. So how do you view technology at your center?
I view it as it's the necessary evil in some senses, because we went to electronic records about 3 years ago. We've actually did quite well in adopting it, and it's been working. But now we're in that phase of really tweaking it to make it truly beneficial and more efficient for us. And so when I look at the necessary evils, you need to go down that road, but also it has to work for you. It's the analogy is like Microsoft Excel. It's like you use about 10% of what it's capable of doing, and so really getting into it, there's a lot of great products out there, and it's just maximizing the use of those. And we're really in that phase this year. We've made it a strategic planning opportunity for us to take our software and push it to the extent it's supposed to be used.
I think that's really key, and you may not know this about me, Todd, but I spent a lot of my career in electronic health records for the practice setting primarily. But that what you just outlined is paramount. You can buy it, open it up, and use it out of the box, but how are your workflows adapting to the software when it really ought to be the other way around? Even when your workflows change, software should be serving you. You shouldn't be bending to it.
Correct.
It kind of in an interesting aside to this, that in the past few months, we had a guest, Dr. David Norris, who is all about empowering physicians to be better business leaders for their own practices. He had a really interesting view of capturing ROI from a technology expenditure. And I'll try to do him justice on the quote here, but he kind of looked at me and cocked his head and said, like, return on investment. This type of technology doesn't sit on my balance sheet. It sits as a line on my P&L. I'm paying for it. So I need to be sure that I'm getting the most value out of this expense rather than trying to get a return on investment out of it, because technically I can't, in the purest financial sense of the term. I just need to be sure that it does everything that I want it to do. So in the culture of excellence that you've created, are you going through each stakeholder on some sort of cadence and saying, folks at my front desk, folks that are doing scheduling, folks in my billing office, what are your workflows and can the tool better serve you? Or what do we need to do to make it more impactful in your day-to-day?
I think you just hit it on the head. It's going to each granular level, and finding out what is working for them, what is not working for them, what would be their ideal, and where we are today, and really taking it at that level and saying, now we need to start modifying. Some of it's us, we're just ingrained in old ways. And so just because you got it on, it's electronic now, we're still thinking and processing things in our own mannerism, the old way. And so it's funny when you sit down and you do take it to that granular level, stuff starts to pop out. It's, why are you doing this? Well, because that's what we've always done. It's like, but do you realize the technology is doing that also? We don't need to redo what it's already doing.
And to that point, you mentioned Excel, which you didn't ask me, but if you had, maybe the most perfect and complete software ever written. And to your point, we're still doing things the old way. Well, Excel's, at least it used to. I don't know if it does anymore, but F1, open up that help window and ask it for whatever it is you're trying to do. And speaking of old way versus new way, one of the things we chatted about before we hit record was around optimizing anesthesia services for your facility. And there's a lot of facets to that. How does technology help there? What are some of the things that you do to ensure you've got a successful partnership with your anesthesia team?
As far as technology goes, it's really looking at our utilization. And we have a very strong relationship with our anesthesia providers. We have a single group, external group that we utilize. And we've been working very hard with them because, just like everybody and across the nation, there's a shortage. But part of that shortage, you want to, the providers you have, you want to maximize their time. And so we've been working with them for the last year and a half, and probably meeting on a monthly basis, every month, every 2 months, just to look at our block time utilization, look at, how can we squeeze out more efficiencies, not only for them, quite honestly, for us too. If we maximize anesthesia time, we're also maximizing our staff time. So there's times that we will consolidate rooms in two rooms into one. That way we can reduce the number of anesthesia providers we are required to have. But it's also, it helps in our staffing also. So having that cohesive partnership with them has been vital. And technology is important in that, because it, you know, that block utilization is it's really key to determining which providers, which surgeons are not utilizing their block time, maybe need to give up some block time, some that are using more, and we need to find ways to add additional rooms for them.
100%. I mean, at the end of the day, to keep the lights on, the ASC has to be a profitable business while delivering excellent patient outcomes. We don't ever want to lose sight of that, but it is still a business at the end of the day, right?
Correct.
So continuing down our sort of list of bullet points here, one of the hottest topics for the last 6 months, it feels like a lifetime now, surrounds AI in healthcare. And it takes on a lot of different functionality. You have some EHRs now that are embedding ChatGPT into their products. You have NYU using AI to give structure to unstructured handwritten notes and making that something that you can analyze now. So a lot of different paths that it's taking, and even more paths that it will take. What kind of thoughts do you have on AI in healthcare?
I see it being very integrated in the future. You know, the future for some of it is now. I think where I personally am is I'm still kind of at the wait and see point. I think I have other software right now that I'm really trying to maximize, but I have a very keen eye on this, because I do feel that there's going to be some great benefit in the future.
Yeah, it's interesting. I fall into a similar boat. I think with some of the physician documentation tools out there, like when they're embedded in an EHR, what will take the physician less time? Because in a practice-based setting or in a hospital-based setting, these technologies they're asked and demanded to use in some cases is their number one cause of burnout. So what will take less time? This is kind of what I wrestle with. You click the button, you get the AI-generated note. You have to go proof it, because ultimately your name's on it, doc. You're signing
correct.
That this is complete and correct. Or you just do the documentation how you've always done without AI. So we'll see, but it's really, I think it's particularly interesting because in a space that doesn't traditionally love any type of new technology, healthcare is just flocking to AI.
Correct. And I agree. It seems like it's this mad rush towards it. But then I guess I want to see what the fallout is from it.
I know everybody's closely tuned into that. And then Todd, if you're on the mountaintop there in Alaska, a long day of fishing, and you could shout top of your lungs, one thing that everybody in every ASC could know that you said, what would it be?
I think it just goes back to the basics, is that you build your center on safe quality care. You build it off your volume, and you treat your staff right. Things are going to go quite well for you. But you know, you get back to the basics of, you know, we have a great story to tell. You know, that's ASCA right there, is that, you know, we have a great story to tell. Go out there and tell it. Tell it to your staff, tell it to the community, tell it to your doctors, just routinely, that, you know, we are the epitome of, to me, we're the epitome of healthcare reform. You know, we provide a great product at a cheaper price and a you know, it's safe, quality product, cheaper price for the payer, cheaper price for the patients, and everybody, and the patient satisfaction is great.
I'm with you. You know, that's the three P's of the ASC equation: the patient, the provider, and we'll even throw the payer a bone. You know, usually left out on the cold there, but everybody wins. It's and it's badly needed.
Win-win.
Badly needed, as you said. This is the reform everybody's asking for. It's time to embrace it. Well, Todd, what didn't we cover that we should hear?
You know, I'm anxious to see everybody at ASCA. It's always a great conference to get everybody together. It's the camaraderie of our peers. It's the vendor representation. So it's a great time. If people haven't signed up, they should go. I would plug that just for that reason. I've been going for last 16, 17 years, and it's something that I enjoy every year, just whether it's the classes, the seminars, and or just the meeting the peers, because I think we all learn a little more from each other every time I go.
I think that's a really interesting thing about the ASCA annual conference as well, having seen a wide swath of health IT shows and different specialty association shows, the whole spectrum. Everybody really does go to ASCA to get better. HIMSS was this past week in Orlando, and that can be just overwhelming. And that's turned really into just a vendor fair. I didn't make the trip this year, so maybe I shouldn't have an opinion about this past week's show, but the texture of ASCA's annual conference is a cut above the rest. And if you haven't already,
Agreed.
we'll include this link in the show notes, but it's ascassociation.org, and you'll be able to find where to register and where you can get housing. Gaylord Palms in Orlando this year, which is a great venue as well. Well, Todd, as we wrap up,
Very good.
where can our listeners connect with you? Are you big on any social medias?
I'm on LinkedIn. I guess just under my name, I'm holding a nice brown trout. That would be me. And also, if you were to contact Ben Surgery Center, tcourier@bensurgerycenter.com, I'll be happy to communicate with anybody out there, because I think working together, we all learn.
That sounds fantastic. Well, Todd, thank you again for joining us. And on behalf of the entire DocBuddy team, thank you for listening. Be sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube so you always get the newest episodes of the show. And until next time, I'm your host, Eric Sunset. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Eric.